Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. For today's episode, I'm just going to be straight with you. We'll be talking about poop. Now, you might think that poop is gross or silly or just not wonderful, like the other things we talk about here on Constant Wonder Kids. But to our guest today, poop is wonderful, and it inspires him to learn more about the world around him.
To this day, one of the most memorable moments when I was at sea was having a right whale surface in front of us, take a deep breath, and then before diving, leaving this enormous fecal plume in front of me.
Fecal plume is a fancy way of saying a long stream of poop.
Little did I know at the time that I'd spend the rest of my career chasing feces in all its forms, whether it's bird poop for right whales or to Alaska, even looking for whale pee.
This is Joe Roman. He's a conservation biologist and writer. And yes, his job is to study poop. His big focus is whale poop, but he also cares about bird poop, hippo poop, wildebeest poop. The list goes on and on. Now, you're probably wondering what makes poop so interesting to Joe. To answer this reasonable question, Joe asks us to imagine a tree growing in a forest.
A tree, wherever it starts to grow, most likely it's going to spend the rest of its life there. What animals do, though, is they can take the nutrients from these trees, essential nutrients like nitrogen, iron, phosphorus, that all things need to live. They'll eat that tree, and they can either swim in the ocean or they can move around on land and release those nutrients in the form of pee or in the form of poop. And those nutrients can enhance growth on everything from new volcanic islands to the beautiful beaches of, let's say, the Caribbean.
To Joe, poop is amazing because it helps spread nutrients around. Nutrients are the building blocks that all living things need to live and grow. Animals get nutrients from plants and then give those nutrients back to plants when they poop. So even if it's kind of gross, poop plays an important role in our ecosystems. One place where this is super obvious is in the national parks in Kenya near the Mara River.
They were examining the water quality in the Mara River, and the national parks had much more nutrients, much more nitrogen and phosphorus in them than the areas where there were farms and people. So they scratched their heads. They're like, huh, why could that be? And then they went down to the water and they saw a hippo pool. So numerous hippos that were sitting, resting in that water. So how are they moving nutrients? So hippos feed on the savannas in the evening, and then they go down to the river system, either during the day or in the mornings or something like that. They're sitting in those river systems, relaxing, cooling off, and pooping. And, you know, hippos are very large animals. They release an enormous amount of poop into those systems, and so much so that those hippo pools look black.
Okay, I know that poop is important, but that seems like too much hippo poop to me. How do these hippo poop-filled pools affect the ecosystem? You know, all the other plants and animals that live in that area.
So they're creating these ecosystems filled with hippo poop, and it even affects the bacteria. So they measured how much, and they found that a large amount of nitrogen and phosphorus is getting into that system via these hippos, and it's changing those hippo pools. They're finding the stomachs of a lot of the fish in those areas filled with hippo poop. There's a lot of bacteria, and the plants are growing around that area. Once they leave, then those pools can start returning as those nutrients are exported to what it would be in the absence of hippos.
That is fascinating. The hippo poop was able to transform the hippo pools into the perfect hippo hangout spot. And then once the hippos left, the nutrients were used by other organisms and the pool turned back to normal. In this example, Joe saw how hippo poop became food for fish and plants so that lots of life can live in the rivers. But sometimes poop can help plants and then animals grow in places they've never lived before. This happened when Joe had the opportunity to visit the island of Surtsey off the coast of Iceland. Surtsey is an important place because it's the newest island in the world. In 1963, a volcanic eruption started underwater. The eruption kept on going, and after 4 years, a new island had emerged from the sea.
And what makes Surtsey so fascinating is many things, right? It's beautiful in that it's this stark lava island way up in the north near the Arctic Circle, isolated with very little life on much of the island. But if you were to right now look at Surtsey from space, you'd see something curious in this black landscape, and there's this bright green spot on the southwest part of the island. And how did that get there?
All right, Wonder Kids, take a guess. How did this patch of life pop up on Surtsey? Think about it.
Well, it's emerged in the 1980s through the movement of bird poop.
Bird poop. Did you come up with that answer?
One of the most important animals on the planet to move nutrients are seabirds. They move large distances, they feed in the oceans, they breed on land, so they're bringing nutrients into these landscapes as well as onto sandy landscapes in the tropics. So when I went there, I felt like I was stepping onto the moon, and it almost looks like a lunar landscape for much of it. But you get to this area, which is the bird breeding area, and all of a sudden, there are knee-deep grasses in that area. It's soft, it's spongy, and it's loud. Because we often think of natural areas as quiet, but not when you have hundreds or thousands of breeding birds in a particular area. So they're going back and forth, feeding their young, and releasing on average about 3 ounces of bird poop onto the island. And the change was night and day. Especially once the large gulls came into this area. They're bringing in 60 pounds of nitrogen into this area every year. And first, there were only a few plant species on the island that could survive, because the only way you were going to make it on that island was packing in your own nutrients by floating into the ocean. But once the birds came in and started releasing all this nitrogen and all this phosphorus from the oceans, species took off. They're not only are they bringing nutrients, but since birds fly around, they were also bringing seeds that were stuck on their feathers. And now not only are there birds that have come in to feed on the seeds, but there are also even birds feeding on the insects that are feeding on the plants. So an entire ecosystem formed.
Isn't that incredible? Because of the bird poop, an empty volcanic island was transformed into a little green garden of life. And keep in mind, Surtsey is only 60 years old. Who knows how much more it will change as more animals and plants spread their nutrients around. Joe had witnessed a lot of interesting examples of poop playing an important part in ecosystems. But as we hinted at the beginning, his first exposure to the importance of poop came from whales.
I can remember one of the first times I ever saw whale feces. It was one of the first days I was working with the New England Aquarium on the Bay of Fundy. We had left probably 4 a.m. From a dock in Maine. And for most of the morning, we didn't see any whales. It can be a long commute out to the bay. And I still remember one of the first whales I ever saw was this large old male that emerged pretty close to the boat, and it came to the surface. It had mud on its head and on its bonnet because it had been feeding at the bottom. And it's resting at the surface and it's breathing. And then I never forget, just before it's about to dive to feed again, it raises its flukes. And these flukes are like the size of Volkswagens in front of us.
A whale fluke is the large flat part of a whale's tail.
And then we see this enormous slick, this enormous black and red slick behind that whale.
That enormous black and red slick is the whale poop.
It was the size of our boat, probably extended about 10 to 20 feet. And it's like floating at the surface. There are some brick-like forms of these feces. And then the whale dives friends of mine collected this. You get close to it and it stinks. This is one of the strongest smells I've ever had on the planet, honestly. If you get this whale feces on your clothes, you can wash it as much as you want, but you pretty much have to throw them away. It's briny, it smells, the whale breath isn't much better. It kind of smells like the whale breath.
That's a lot of nasty smelling whale poop. So why did Joe and the other scientists collect the poop, or fecal plumes, to bring home with them?
You can learn a ton from a fecal plume. My friends collect whale feces to look at hormones, so they can tell, without having to touch the whale, whether it's pregnant, whether it has high stress levels. They can tell what it's feeding on, and they can even get the genetics, so they can know what whale it is, what other whales is it related to, just from the fecal plume.
Joe knew that you could learn a lot about whales from their poop, but he also believed that you could learn a lot about entire ecosystems from whale poop because of how much whales move around. Whales are particularly interesting creatures because they dive down to the bottom of the ocean to eat and then have to come up to the surface to breathe and rest.
Right whales, for example. When they come to the surface, they have mud on their bonnets or on their heads. So they're diving hundreds of feet to the bottom of the ocean where they're feeding every 10, every 20 minutes. Some of them can last 30 minutes. But, you know, a whale has to come to the surface. They come to rest, digest, to breathe, and also, as it turns out, to poop and to pee. They're diving deep to feed, coming to the surface, resting and releasing those nutrients. So whales aren't just predators, animals aren't just predators, but they're actually fertilizing their own gardens in these areas.
Joe has figured out that by moving nutrients from the bottom of the ocean to the top of the ocean, the whales are helping more plants and small animals to grow, which gives them more food later. By just eating and pooping, the whales are preparing themselves more things to eat in the future. Nature really is amazing.
It's actually more like a positive loop. So whales, yes, they eat fish. They come to the surface, they rest, they digest, they release nutrients, and that enhances the growth of algae and seaweeds in that area. Think of it more as a loop or as a food web, right? All animals, plants, and bacteria, they're all impacting each other in fascinating ways.
Through his research, Joe has shown that there's a lot more to poop than just being gross or silly. Poop is one of the ways that nutrients move through our ecosystems, and poop can inform us about those ecosystems and the creatures living in them. For Joe, the wonder of poop comes from the wonder of studying living things.
I do this work for two reasons. One is because of the excitement and the awe that I can have in the natural world, but also because I hope I can, in my own small way, help restore wild animals across the planet, including whales.
There's a lot that we can learn from the natural world, especially in aspects we wouldn't expect. Turns out even poop can teach you a lot.
Poop might seem gross or silly to you, but there's a lot that poop can do. Nutrients move.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Joe Roman's expertise relating to whale poop, and if you'd like to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode you'll be looking for is called Eat, Poop, Die. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.